If I had one wish that I could wish this holiday season, it would be for all the linemen in the NFL to join hands and sing together in the spirit of harmony and peace. If I had two wishes that I could make this holiday season, the first would be for all the linemen in the NFL to join hands and sing in a spirit of harmony and peace. And the second would be for 200 extra fantasy points to be given to me to be added to my team any week throughout the season as I see fit. You know, if I can make three wishes this holiday season, the first, of course, would be for all the linemen to get together and sing. The second would be for 200 extra fantasy points given to me. And the third would be for unlimited trade power over every member of my league to carry out any move as I see fit. And if I had four wishes that I can make this holiday season, the first would be the crap about the tugboat lineman done. The second would be for the 200 extra fantasy points. The third would be for all the trade power. And the fourth would be to set aside one weekend each year to recreate my own tush push in the honeymoon suite of the Bellagio with my lovely wife, who is behind this idea 100%. And of course, three others of my choosing. Jeff Saturday would absolutely catch an invite with how Peyton Manning described those buns. Now, wait a minute. Maybe the tush push should be the first thing. So I'll make that the first wish because it can all go boom tomorrow. And then what do you got? You know? No, the linemen singing would be great. That would be nice. But wait a minute, who am I kidding? They can't all sing. The Eagles' Christmas album is an anomaly. I mean, the rest of the league cannot be that good. I don't need pitchy big guys serenading me. Okay, so we reorganize. Here we go. First, the tush push thing. We go with that. Second, the fantasy points. No, we go with the trade power second, and then the fantasy points, and then the linemen. Oh, funky butt-loving. I forgot about revenge against Arthur Smith. Okay. I need revenge against Arthur Smith because he should be delivering packages for FedEx, not delivering carries and targets to everyone but his stars. That would be my fourth wish. And of course, my fifth wish would be for all the linemen in the NFL to join hands and sing together in a spirit of harmony and fantasy victory. Thank you, everybody, and happy holidays. And live from Bristol, Connecticut, it's Fantasy Focus Live!
Welcome to Fantasy Focus Football. Today's show is presented by Geico. Fantasy Focus Football. You know, insurance can be hard, guys. That's why Geico makes it easy with 24/7 claim service and on-the-go policy info in the app. It is easy to Geico. I am joined today by my friends Field Yates and Stefania Bell. And in case you hung out with us on the YouTube stream and not on the E2 cut, you just saw the skit that I did called the Holiday Wish List. Try to channel my inner Steve Martin from that one in case you guys were a fan of the old SNL thing. Hopefully you guys thought it was a little bit of fun.
Enjoyed it. I love it. I just want to know if we have a band.
We need to have
Who is performing today?
Yeah. Who's performing?
That's a great, I think Chasing Volume is going to come up on
Chasing
the show.
Volume. That's nice. Right. Nice. That's right. The band that Daniel and I are going to one day form. I feel like I should be honored to be in your presence because that was terrific. And what are you doing tomorrow, Saturday night? I got to imagine around 11 o'clock, you'll be tied up.
Yeah, they have officially reached out to ask me if I would like to come out and host.
And?
I told him I'm thinking about it. Mama Dop is in town and she's pretty important to me. Yeah. So
not only is she in town, Daniel, she is in the studio.
She's right here.
Now. This is the closest thing that we will have to an actual celebrity being in our Fantasy Focus studio right now. The woman responsible for bringing Daniel Dopp into this universe, probably the most loyal Fantasy Focus fan alive, and an all-around lovely woman
Queen
is here in
chat?
Our presence. Yes, she is gracious with her presence. We know that she was very excited watching last night's game, as there will always be a place near and dear to her heart for Matthew Stafford. It is just amazing to have her here. We also have Mike Clay here, but more importantly, Mama Dop. Sorry, Mike.
That's way more exciting when Mama Dop is here. It's always fun to be able to bring her into the studio and just be able to show her how we do this live because she does watch every single show on YouTube and hangs out
it's
and
nice
chat.
Nice to have another lady in the house.
That's right. All right, on today's show, we got a bunch of stuff planned. It's week 16. That means fantasy playoffs. We're talking injury updates. We're doing a Thursday Night Football recap, and we're getting you ready for the rest of our week 16 rankings with some of the big topics that we have from this week. So without further ado, we are going to start with Stefania Bell like we always do. Stefania, injury updates. There's a handful of them. I'm going to start with Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, Tyreek Hill, who missed last week, and this was, we heard that this was his call, but really this was, as they always are, conversations between the player and the team. Last Sunday, we were reporting live. Jeff Darlington was telling us about the decision-making. It sounded like Tyreek Hill could run, and he looked good doing his routes, but he was nervous about getting tackled. And if you recall how he was injured, the mechanism was that of a high ankle sprain. He was lucky it wasn't more serious, but worried about aggravating the ankle with another tackle. Now, the good news is he did get back in practice on Thursday, limited basis. But this is a big one against Dallas, and I would be shocked if Tyreek Hill doesn't play.
Love to hear it.
Yeah, we definitely want him out there for our fantasy matchups. He helped us get to the playoffs. Hopefully we can use him here in the playoffs.
He probably had a bye if he had Tyreek Hill. Yeah. So you're probably sitting pretty right now.
Yeah, you're sitting in a good spot. Stefania. Sounds like Ja'Marr Chase has been ruled out for Saturday's game against the Steelers with that shoulder injury. What can you tell us about what we should expect for the shoulder injury long term?
Well, I think it is day to day as much as we didn't love the fact that Zach Taylor called it a day to day injury. I think it really is. And to be fair, even though we've heard reports that he was going to miss this week, and obviously he is going to, he's already been ruled out. But I think it's hard to project into the future because with these AC injuries, it really comes down to can you function at the position? One of the hardest things to do is to be able to elevate your arm above 90 degrees after you have this kind of injury. And obviously, if you're a receiver who makes catches like Ja'Marr Chase does, you need to be able to get your arm up in the air, and then you need to be able to land on it and not be concerned about falling onto that shoulder. So he did not practice at all, no real test, and we have no way of knowing exactly where he is on that. But Zach Taylor was right when he said things can change dramatically in a day. And with these kind of injuries, you will see that some days where the guy doesn't look like he can play, and the next day he looks pretty good. So watch the practice reports closely next week. But for this week, make other plans.
Bonus day for them next week. They don't play until Sunday after back-to-back Saturday games. Yep. Chiefs-Bengals next Sunday.
Oof.
A little bit excited for that one.
Yeah, that could be a little bit good. Yep. That could be very fun. All right, we'll talk a little bit more about these Bengals pass catchers in a little bit in the show. Stefania, let's talk Michael Pittman, who was a full participant in Thursday's practice after being in the concussion protocol. Excuse me. What can you tell us about his status for Sunday?
Right, and that's a great sign. Obviously, as you're progressing through these different phases of the protocol, you want to see the players go through progressive practice. Full practice, certainly a good sign. As long as there's no after effect from that, you would imagine the last thing he'll need to do is get cleared by the independent neurological consultant. But this is great news. We want to see Michael Pittman back in the lineup. And yes, still in the concussion protocol until he is officially cleared, but certainly going in the right direction.
And he is not the only Indianapolis Colt that has been dealing with something. Jonathan Taylor dealing with a thumb injury, which as a running back seems really not ideal.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about Jonathan Taylor?
Yeah, so not ideal. He had to have surgery to repair the ulnar collateral ligament in his thumb. And the great news is that it's a very sturdy construct. Once the surgery is done, you're not really worried about the integrity of the surgery. You're just worried, can you do what you need to do as a running back, which is protect the ball. And so grip strength, the ability to hold it, that all got tested really for the first time yesterday. Yesterday was Jonathan Taylor's return to practice. First time since surgery. He's missed three games. So it's been about 3.5 weeks since he actually had the surgery. He might wear some low profile splint. I could see that happening. But everything about this makes me feel like he's going to be out there. And that'll be important because Zach Moss has not practiced.
That's right.
And we talked earlier in the week about the reports that it was a shoulder injury. Nope. On the injury report, he's actually listed with a forearm. And this was the concern because that is the forearm he fractured that caused him to miss time earlier this year. So not sure exactly what the nature of it is, but he landed on that same area and hasn't been able to get back into practice.
Yeah, so we'll see whether he does at all on Friday. But Jonathan Taylor will be a very, very busy man on Sunday. I would anticipate, though, that there's a little bit of a build back up for Jonathan Taylor, as we saw early on in the season when he returned after his contractitis case. So you might see a little bit of Tyler Goodson, maybe a little bit of Trey Sermon as well. But Jonathan Taylor, still a strong top 20 running back consideration. They play the Falcons on Sunday.
Ooh, that's a pretty good defense.
Yeah, run defense. Good. Yep.
Yep. All right, Stefania, quarterback question for
it's
you.
It's hard for me not to chuckle. We say the Falcons right now.
Sorry.
When we're talking about fantasy football and
exactly.
Falcons,
it's just... they go hand in hand with it.
Incongruent.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Looking at the quarterback position for the Houston Texans, I do not believe that C.J. Stroud was back at practice yesterday. Are we thinking that these are... C.J. Stroud vibes, or are we going to be able to have Case Keenum vibes for week 16?
It's certainly looking like Case Keenum, right? Because he hasn't practiced now. Who knows what will happen Friday, but everything is pointing to, and all the vibes from the reporters who are there on the ground, is that CJ Stroud is not likely to play this week and that it is expected to be Case Keenum. So we just haven't really seen him, so it's hard to gauge where he is in terms of his recovery process, but yeah, he has not been on the practice field, and that's all you need to know.
I'll reiterate from earlier this week, they've been tipping their cap on this one. They've been tipping their hand on this one, yeah, I should say, yep, right? They tried to claim a quarterback off of waivers and then signed Tim Boyle to the practice squad, so I would be surprised if CJ Stroud plays on Sunday. I don't even know if he'll practice today on Friday. Yeah. So we'll keep a close eye on this one, not just this week, but potentially next week as well.
Yeah.
Houston's still in that AFC playoff picture. They need a window on Sunday.
Not the only AFC backup quarterback we may see this week as well, Stefania. Yeah. Trevor Lawrence has never missed a game in his NFL career.
Not. But
it sounds like
college,
we might
high school
see
too, right?
Yeah.
Was it both?
He has yet to miss a game due to injury, I believe.
Yeah. Is this going to be the first week that we see someone other than Trevor Lawrence on the
season? Well, it certainly looked that way until this morning when Doug Peterson just told reporters that Trevor Lawrence will be out on the practice field, and his words, and I quote, were, they will give him as much as he can tolerate. It's really interesting because usually we see with this progression through the concussion protocol that you'll see a player come back and be limited in their first outing and then move towards a full practice. And if we look at the time scale, Trevor Lawrence hasn't practiced. And by the way, also listed due to his ankle. Remember, he had that high ankle sprain that he played through. So that is still something that is bothering him. This is a tough one. You're just going to have to watch the practice reports, because if he does get through today, and who knows how much he'll do, he would have to also be cleared by the independent neurological consultant. He would have to be cleared in time to travel with the team, because this is an away game for the Jaguars. So I think you'll have your information by Saturday afternoon, but right now, a little bit questionable.
So let me ask you this, Field. We're obviously starting Travis Etienne regardless of who's under center.
Yeah,
and I think
are.
Evan Engram is also a, no matter what.
I would agree. Yes.
When you look at the pass catchers, if it is CJ Beathard, are you downgrading any of these guys?
Here's what I would say. As much as I would love to tell you that I am downgrading Calvin Ridley, how can you have any upgrade or downgrade to Calvin Ridley when he has been a self-proclaimed, he's just like up and down
he's
every single week.
Himself.
You have no idea how to figure out when it's going to be a good or bad week for Calvin Ridley. So yes, a little bit of a downgrade, because obviously Trevor Lawrence is a superior player to CJ Beathard.
Zay Jones may be out.
Yep, Zay Jones likely will be out, it sounds like. You know, by the way, it's a great matchup, so you don't want to downgrade Calvin Ridley too much, because certainly a very talented player, but the Bucs have allowed the most passing yards in the NFL this season, so the opportunity for a big game is there, but the confidence does decrease by, let's call it 5 or 10% if you have a backup quarterback, even one in TJ Beathard that the team feels pretty good about being a capable fill-in for Trevor Lawrence.
I say Parker Washington outscores Jamal Agnew in week 16.
I would not be surprised by that.
Really?
I am a Parker Washington fan.
You're going to plant your flag there.
Yeah. That's where we're going to go with it. Yeah. We're looking for other pass catchers other than Calvin Ridley, with both Christian Kirk on IR and then, like you said, potentially no Zay Jones.
Is so Kirk on IR, or is he just, I think he remains out of practice right now, right? Or
is he was IR.
I believe he is.
Either way.
Confirmed on IR.
Either way, not coming back.
That's correct. Yes.
Yep.
That's a bummer. So.
Lots to look forward to in week 16. Stefania, thank you for getting us ready with all this.
So festive too.
I know. Yes. By the way, also Keenan Allen already ruled out. So if anybody was looking for that, because they play on Saturday, we have that information early. Heel injury. I've seen a few guys with heel injuries, which can be a plethora of things. So stay tuned for next week.
And we are officially into 2024 vibes for the Chargers. So keep an eye on Keenan Allen's status next week. For sure.
We'll have more from Stefania on FF Now Sunday morning, ESPN2 from 10 to 1. Thanks, Stefania. All right, Field, help us pay some bills here.
Home, auto, prize, sports, memorabilia. Whatever you need to protect, Geico can help get you covered.
Yeah,
and with the award-winning Geico mobile app, you can get 24/7 claim support and on-the-go policy access. It's so easy to Geico. Go to geico.com today.
Back here on Fantasy Focus, Daniel Dopp, Field Yates, and Mike Clay recapping what was a heck of a Thursday night football game.
I'm in.
How you doing, Mike? Good to see you here today.
Good. Stefania and I coordinated. She had green. I brought the green.
You brought
as well.
The green.
Other shade of green. You're looking dapper as usual.
I love
no
this.
Surprise
this is
there.
What's my color? What's your favorite color? This is
my favorite color.
Color
is probably blue or orange, one of the two.
Blue or orange.
Blue
interesting.
Or orange.
They're
orange.
Very different colors.
Yeah. They are very different.
This is my shade. Not just any blue.
It's a shade like a blue, of blue. Would you call it a turquoise?
Yeah, turquoise. Okay. What about you, Daniel?
Honolulu blue.
Honolulu blue is my favorite color.
You should have known that. Yeah,
absolutely.
Kelly green should be yours. Yeah.
Stefania, what is the, like is there a red, it's like red or green? Is it the, do the Niners have like specific red and gold colors, or are they just red and gold? It's garnet. Yeah, there's
garnet red. Okay.
Oh, yeah, Stefania going to be at the game Monday Night Football, letting everybody know.
Go. I'm jealous.
Be a lot of fun. All
is
right.
Is that a big game? Are they playing?
Yeah, I think that will be a fairly big one.
I think they're playing some out-of-conference game. Yeah. I think it's like, yeah.
We'll see how that one works out. Hey, let's talk about Thursday Night Football, guys. This one was fun. I'll tell you what, the offense.
Yeah.
The offense wasn't always there in the for the Saints most of the game, but the second half, you saw at the very end, it became very exciting. Matthew Stafford ended up looking fantastic in this one. 328 yards and two touchdowns plus one rush for -4 rushing yards. That's what you think for Matthew Stafford.
Down to 66 rushing yards for the season is Matthew Stafford.
Another 20 fantasy point game at the quarterback position, guys.
Well, yes, but this is one of those where you have to remind yourself that fantasy football and real football are so different.
Yeah.
Who would you say played better last night in real life?
Stafford.
Matthew
Stafford.
By how much?
Derek Carr.
By quite a bit.
Okay.
Yeah,
so he was quite a bit better, perhaps a lot better than Derek Carr. And Matthew Stafford turned in a 20.72 fantasy point effort. Totally reasonable effort. He'll probably end up being a top 10 quarterback with that outing. And yet Derek Carr, currently pacing the week at 24.96 fantasy points, as garbage time treated Derek Carr very well. But this is Matthew Stafford's fourth game in five outings with 20 plus fantasy points. This offense is just playing so well. And I don't, we only have really one or two more weeks left over that, like, if Matthew Stafford is still available or he's your backup quarterback, he might be your starting quarterback in the fantasy finals.
Yeah, it's tricky because he had none of these the first 10 weeks of the season. Uh-huh. He was completely useless. We ranked him like 25th, and now he's been doing it week after week after week. It's kind of like almost like Joe Flacco, where it doesn't feel sustainable because there's no rushing and all the touchdowns, for the most part, have been through the air. So I'm a little, I'm going to have a hard time ranking him higher than like the 10th to 12th range, maybe.
Yeah, and that seems a reasonable place
to play next
him.
Week. But
I think this kind of, the Giants. Yeah. It's a great matchup. So yesterday kind of makes your point, though, because it's like, I would say objectively, that's about as well as a quarterback could play. Yeah. And he scores 20.72 fantasy points. Nothing wrong with that, right? But like the chance of Derek Carr or a far inferior quarterback having more than 20.72 fantasy points is on the table because there is zero rushing, right? Yep. Like you get a cheapo rushing touchdown and 25 rushing yards and you're already at to 8.5 fantasy points, just a different sort of avenue for other quarterbacks to pass Matthew Stafford. He's playing really well that if you're looking for 20, there's a pretty reasonable chance he will give you that, in part because he's got an absolute superstar at wide receiver.
Yeah, that's
right
how
now.
The league has kind of changed in the last decade. Just 10 years ago, there was only a few guys that really made a big difference with their legs. Now it's almost everyone. You're kind of the exception if you're Stafford or Cousins or, you know, guys like that.
Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow. Like, well, he's done. He's bounced back in that area. He's certainly done more with his legs when he's been healthy. But just be basically a zero in that department is kind of rare now.
Yeah, it is. But his wide receivers are the opposite of zero.
Unreal.
Daniel.
Oh, yeah. Puka Nacua looked unreal last night. Honestly, Cooper Kupp looked like he had a down game production wise. He still had 12 targets and he dropped a couple of touchdowns.
He had two close touchdowns. Like, you know, I think I'll be curious to see. I'm not sure who is responsible for scoring drops versus not drops. I felt like those were both balls that were like maybe 10% off target. And it's possible that Cooper Kupp hauls them in, but it would have been two excellent catches. But if he just has one of those.
Yeah.
Become a touchdown, we feel a lot different about his night. But if I told you he's going to have 12 targets in a rushing attempt, you'd be saying I am starting Cooper Kupp. But Puka Nacua is an amazing story. We are talking about a player who, in his rookie season, is in the same breadth as Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase. He's going to end up likely surpassing both of their receiving yardage marks. He's already surpassed both of their reception total from their rookie seasons. And he's not going to catch Chase in touchdowns, but he might surpass Justin Jefferson in touchdowns. If you were to do a quick off the top of your head, dynasty wide receiver ranks right now, Mike, is Puka Nacua top three dynasty wideout?
Top three dynasty wideout. Oof, I don't know. I'd probably not, but close.
I'm just saying.
Jason Jefferson are in there for sure. AJ Brown is obviously older, but he's in that conversation. But yeah, I would say top 10. I just updated in the last 2 weeks, so I'm not sure exactly where I put him, but
He's in that conversation. I mean, just crazy. Looks like the real deal.
He sure does. As does his teammate, Kyron Williams, Daniel.
Dude, Kyron Williams looks fantastic as well. The only thing that was frustrating about Kyron Williams last night was the lack of passing game usage.
But we've seen this on a few occasions for him this year, right? It's like there are times where he'll go like 25 carries and zero targets, or there are weeks where he will go 22 carries with five targets. So hard to argue with the rush production, and he's just a really darn good player, and 16.4 fantasy points is nothing to shake a stick at for Kyron Williams, but he has firmly entrenched himself as a top five running back every week. Maybe top two.
Yeah. Speaking of dynasty, like elite at this point. Yeah. By the way, at Notre Dame, he was outstanding. His efficiency was off the charts. I loved him all the way up until
the combine
and he was so slow. Like he was massive red flag. His career is in jeopardy.
Athletic outlier.
And he fell in the draft, of course, as a result of that. And he's absolutely an outlier. But I don't know how you watch him and think this guy's not for real. Like he looks legit.
Totally.
Speaking of outliers, I just want to say this really quickly. Why did you let me say that Alvin Kamara had scored double-digit fantasy points in every game this year? I jinxed it for everyone, guys. I'm sorry.
Well, his lowest finish in a week so far this season is RB19. And if you're looking for a positive spin here, he's currently RB2 on the week. So it's possible. Right now, it's going to require basically the worst week of fantasy scoring ever. But
who knows? We might get that.
It's very possible. But this Saints offense, you're playing Kamara every single week still. He ended up having a drive where he had four catches on this single drive. He ended up with five catches last night, right? A bad day at the office. But Chris Olave looked amazing last night. And if not, he had a couple of drops.
The same thing. It was like that one was behind him. What I was thinking of when you were talking about Cup. It's like, is that a drop?
I know. We'll have to see how they score it. Yeah. But there was even more meat on the bone, so to speak, for Chris Olave. Mm-hmm. And yet he had 9 catches for 123 yards. He must have had, 16 targets? I'm sorry.
16.
13 targets. Yeah. It felt like 16. 23.3 fantasy points. His best in the game this season. But this guy's so, so good.
Yeah, he's great. Another one of them elite dynasty wide receivers. First round pick, has the pedigree and has the production, has the targets.
Yep.
Everything's been great. The question is just like, what's the future of the quarterback position for New Orleans?
So, based off of his contract, it's going to have to be Derek Carr again next year.
Buckle up. And he might be like, he's been so hurt this year too. Many minor injuries, moderate injuries. So Rashid Shaheed, by the way, 9 targets.
Yep. And a long touchdown.
Yeah. And I thought, of course. And we expected that against the secondary.
Right.
They've been hit for a bunch of them.
Yes, totally. Yep.
Yeah.
It's a fun Thursday night game, guys.
It was. I had Shaheed for first touchdown. In this game, he scored the second touchdown.
Oh my gosh, Mike. Get better at your job, will you?
I'll try.
Back here on Fantasy Focus, Daniel Dopp, Field Yates, and Mike Clay talking about our Week 16 preview, making sure that you are ready for the fantasy playoffs.
Yeah, we are.
Guys, let's look at this Rashee Rice ranking. We're at the spot now. We were trying so hard to talk Rashee Rice into existence. Now, in Week 16, fantasy playoffs, everything is on the line. We have him ranked as a top 10 wide receiver field, and it's very obvious to see why. The volume has been unreal. He is the number one pass catcher in this Chiefs offense now.
9+ targets in 4 straight games, 32 catches over those past 4 games. He has a touchdown in 3 of 4 games. I don't know why this one is a very much keep it simple. He is the clear cut number one wide receiver, maybe even number one pass catcher in this Chiefs offense, which, although it's a much different version of the Chiefs offense, if you're the number one target for Patrick Mahomes, you are generally speaking going to be a lineup lock. Mm-hmm. Hard to argue against that. The Raiders have been stingier defensively than we expected, Mike, but no shadow opportunity coming here. He's probably going to be just fine again on Monday.
Yeah, Raiders overall neutral against receivers, but lately they've been poor. 6 most fantasy points over the last month to the position. So they've had some issues there. Marcus Peters cut. They brought in Jack Jones, was cut by the Patriots. Speaking of quarterback issues in New England, goodness gracious, all over the place. But over the last month, Rice is third in fantasy points at receiver. We might be too low at 7 at this point, but he definitely deserves this ranking. And it's not like it's just been high volume in this offense just because they're have extra plays or his target share has been at least 26% in 4 straight too. Yep. Like it is they are dedicated to getting him the ball. And also 92% of the snaps last week, career high. He's an every down player now too, on top of everything else. So it's we're off and running. I will say this, just because we mentioned the future rankings dynasty, I believe it was Adam Teicher asked a question from Eric Moody about the future, if he's the one, and it was no, probably not. He's probably the 2 long term. He doesn't have the downfield speed. Rice, I thought that was interesting. That's the only thing that
they could go big game hunting, whether it's in the draft or if they fall short this year.
Yeah.
It is pretty clear that they're going to address the offense more so than the defense. So, yeah. And with Travis Kelce, you know, losing a step this year, they're going to have to be thinking about weapons, whether it's a player who, you know, by, nominally is ahead of Rashee Rice or not, we'll see. But even if he's the number two, like, he's way too good to have much lower of a ceiling than, like, I don't know, the 20th best receiver in fantasy football every year.
He should at least be the Devontae Smith to A.J. Brown.
Right, like, correct. Not, yeah, that kind of dynamic.
He looks like the real deal. Yep. Yeah.
I just want to list this really quickly because I know that we know how good Rashee Rice has been, but when you look at Chiefs wide receivers over the last month, right? Rashee Rice has 32 receptions. Travis Kelce has 21.
Yeah.
So he's 11 more. The next closest Chiefs pass catcher has six.
For the past
incredible.
That's six catches.
And believe it or not, Marquez Valdes-Scantling has negative catches during that time.
That's Mike.
Negative two.
Unkind. That's man. Unkind. Unkind. But then again, you're allowed to do that.
I should have did Kadarius Tony.
I was just going to say, wasn't Kadarius Tony the negative catches?
The obvious target.
He's negative yards.
Yeah.
Hey, let's talk about James Cook, guys, because since Joe Brady took over as the offensive coordinator, Mike Clay, it feels like we have seen a different James Cook in this Bills offense. Do you think that this is something sustainable? Because we've been talking, I talked with Field about this before the show. The Bills felt like for the last little bit have not known how to use running backs for us in fantasy. And over the last month, it's like, oh, shoot, they're finally starting to figure out. Do you expect this to continue?
Yeah, I do for James Cook. It's funny. Devin Singletary is getting similar treatment in Houston now.
That was what Daniel was talking about.
Yeah, right. So and now, of course, Cook getting in here. Yeah, last four games with Joe Brady, 24.1 fantasy points per game. Only two running backs and more fantasy points, Christian McCaffrey and Kyren Williams. The volume has been terrific. He's four touchdowns in the four games, over 100 yards in all the games. He could go on and on and on. He has been super productive. On top of all of that, great matchup against the Chargers, who, to your point, on to next year, fifth most fantasy points to running backs. Also, second most catches and receiving yards to running backs, and we know that he could be a factor in the passing game. So Cook could be the number one scorer at running back this week. He has that ceiling. He's set up perfectly.
Coming into week 16, where does James Cook rank in rushing yards in the NFL for the season?
Coming into this week, I would say, rushing yards.
Yards, yeah.
15th, I don't know.
Daniel? I was going to say probably like 18th.
Second.
No.
What?
That's not true.
Go check it out
now. Second in rushing.
I'm trying right now.
Going into week 16, Kyren Williams may have bypassed him last night. He is second with 968.
And he's probably like, wow. And yeah, he's done a lot in the last month, and his efficiency was great all year. Like, I've used that stat where he was like 28th in touches, but 12th in yards.
That
like total, including receiving.
That totally crept up on me. Is he still second ahead of Kyren?
Right now, when I'm looking at him, he has a total of Field Yates, 968 yards.
Rushing yards.
That's unbelievable.
Behind Kyren Williams.
Kyren leapt him with one extra game last night. So on a per game basis, he is still second, which is a remarkable, remarkable. I would have never guessed that for James Cook.
On a per game basis, Kyren Williams is higher because he only played 11.
But nonetheless, the fact that we thought he was 15th and he's 12th.
Second or third.
How crazy is that?
By the way, similar vein, not as shocking, but Tua hasn't been really great in passing or like in fantasy for 2 months now. He still leads the NFL in passing yards.
Ridiculous. It's 100%. Crazy. Yep. Let's do it.
Field, I'm going to ask you about the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yep.
Okay. Do you think that Higgins is teed up for a big game with Chase?
Well done. Well, we do know that he has two E's in his name.
Two E's, like Rashee Rice.
Do you think he's going to be tied up with Joey Porter?
I'll let Mike to the wide receiver cornerback matchup part here. I think that we know that T. Higgins is an incredibly talented player. So if you're choosing between a Bengals pass catcher to start this weekend, it's very obviously him. I think the concerns are threefold. I'll let Mike talk about the matchup here in a second. Mm-hmm. The other one would be that he's been so up and down this season. The last one would be, how many players saw a target for the Rams last night?
For the Rams, four.
Four, correct. Yeah. How many saw a target for the Bengals last week?
I don't know.
12.
12.
Wow. So a lot, this team does spread the wealth very much. So T. Higgins obviously plays in a much less saturated offense than guys like Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua do out there in Los Angeles. Now tell me about the matchup, Mike, because it is not ideal.
So generally, and these teams played earlier this season, you would expect Joey Porter Jr. to shadow Ja'Marr Chase as he did in the first game. And he did well. Remember, that was the game where all week you were talking about two of the four catches were tip passes, right? Yep. So he did a good job. And then Porter's done a really nice job. He hasn't faced a lot of top end quarterbacks, but when he has faced the number one corner, which he's been doing for a month and a half, he's been effective. Now, I think it's been pretty clear all week when they're game planning that there's not going to be Jamar Chase. Mm-hmm. So my expectation is Porter, Will Shadow, T. Higgins. They just like he's by far their number one.
Yep.
It's not even close. You could say Tyler Boyd, but he's in the slot, so he's irrelevant to this conversation. So I do think Porter will shadow Higgins. That makes it a tougher matchup. And Higgins also has a really tough matchup next week and in week 18. So this is an interesting one because the volume could go up, but the matchups are going to be tricky. We still rank him without Chase as a fringe wide receiver too. So you can put him in your lineup, but a little nervous about dud potential because that's T. Higgins too. Yep. He's very boom bust.
And he's going to be a free agent in a few months. He certainly would like to totally mash over these final three regular season.
That's
going to
be an interesting one. Does he resign? They haven't done it yet.
If he hits the market, though, he'll be a $25 million.
Yeah, and he'll be somewhere else.
Free agency is just way too kind to players that have that much talent on the side.
Yep. Plus, the Bengals found Osivas, right?
Yeah, I
grabbed him in some dynasty leagues. He looks pretty good.
He's not Jake Bobo level, but he's a promising player.
He's an interesting. I think like when you see him targeted, you're like, man, that guy.
Oh, he's big and he can run. That's a good starting.
Yeah, he was one of them. Like sometimes day three picks are like maybe to fill a need or something like that, or like sometimes just like this is a raw prospect. It might take some time. Could be he's something won. There. Yeah, like could he win that two job next year?
That'd
be
I'd like some more Tanner Hudson love out of you, Mike. I think I'm liking the Tanner Hudson.
Like the most efficient player in the NFL. 13 snaps,
8 targets.
Yeah.
It's such a bizarre 4-man tight end committee in Cincinnati.
Yeah. He's one of my favorite tight ends in the 4-man fantasy leagues that we're going
to Pulse wants to make T. Higgins to the Jets happen.
All right, guys, we are going to talk about, what do you want to talk about here? I mean, do we even get into Tyler Boyd? Because I feel like this is one of those situations.
Tyler Boyd? Yeah. What? No, I don't think so.
No, he has under 8 fantasy points in 5 straight games.
So, even consider.
He would probably need a touchdown in order to cash in, which a player that plays in the slot who hasn't traditionally been a massive touchdown maker, that would be a long shot for me to be calling a lineup lock in week 16.
Yeah, so, and you're higher than us on him. So
I mean, I've got him at 34, which is higher than the two of you.
Yeah, desperation flex option, I would say. Yep.
Joe Mixon, T. Higgins are the two obvious starters that you
have. Yes, they are for the Bengals. I had a dream that Joe Mixon found the end zone last night.
Make is that right?
What you will. I need to maybe expand my horizons in life a little bit.
No, I mean, week 16, I mean, we've been thinking about the same thing for how many months now?
That
checks out.
All right, back here on Fantasy Focus, guys, let's dive into the Vikings game, taking on the Detroit Lions. This is a situation where I think we have a new player to talk about.
We do,
Ty Chandler looked really good last week, filling in for Alexander Mattison. Now this week, going against a very tough Detroit Lions rush defense, Field Yates. When you look at Ty Chandler, week 16, how are you approaching him?
So there's going to be most likely no Alexander Mattison, which means it's going to be the Ty Chandler show. Some would say that the billing that he carried coming into the NFL was being this plus receiver out of the backfield. Mm-hmm. He had 26 opportunities last week to Ty Chandler. So it may be that he doesn't have 26, but he is a good bet for 20 to 25 or 20 to 22 this upcoming weekend against your Detroit Lions, Daniel, who, of course, have been terrific against the run. They have yet to allow a player to rush for more than 70 yards in a game this season. That being said, if Ty Chandler gets 14 carries and 6 targets, would you be surprised?
No.
Nor would I.
And by the way, he has 14 plus touches in 4 of 5. So he already has a decent floor, and that's with Alex Mattison involved for some of that.
So let's expect him to be the featured back.
Yep.
And he's a very good pass catcher.
Yep.
For an offense that, while Nick Mullins did have a reasonable game last week, 303 passing yards, I still think there is going to be a more conservative nature to it than it would be with Kirk Cousins driving the football down the field. So I have Ty Chandler apparently higher than Daniel by quite a bit. I have him RB18.
Yeah, I'm at RB21. My rankings didn't update that did after not last
reflect
night.
The Alexander Mattison being out part.
Correct.
Okay, so I've got him as RB18. I think he is a usable RB2 because of the volume on Sunday.
Yeah, he's a tricky one. I'm considering him in DFS as well this week in cash. The price point's not too high, but what's tricky for me is the matchup. Detroit is allowed now the fewest fantasy points to running backs this season, the third lowest yards per carry. So do you get 14 carries for 30 yards and then you need 5-6 targets? You might get it. And that's enough volume that you're gonna start him. Like if you have him, he's a flex option. Maybe your team, I mean, look, we're down to the final four teams in most leagues. You might have better options. But I thought what was most interesting was comments from Kevin O'Connell. You don't always get this from coaches. He basically, he was asked about this backfield and it wasn't like, oh yeah, Alex is our starter when he comes back. It was, well, no, we want to get Ty Chandler as much work in the running game and passing game. Yep. And when Alex comes back, hopefully he could basically pick up the scraps, right? I think they have a new starting running back now. In so many words, he said that. So
yes, they do.
Chandler looks good. If he's out there in shallower leagues, still on waivers, you need to scoop him up for the stretch run here.
I will say this. On the other side, but the same position, running backs. You guys, of course, have that James Cook board bet for this. I'm sorry, Jahmyr Gibbs board bet for this week, right? This is an interesting point that our good buddy Josh Norris, if you don't listen, consume Josh's content over Underdog, you're missing out. He was talking about this, and it's a very scheme-specific thing, how, you know, this Vikings defense is totally maniacal, and they make your running backs pass protect because they're bringing pressure from all different angles. He posited the possibility of maybe Jahmyr Gibbs is less involved in the passing game, which was the case the last time these two teams played, for that specific reason. Like, it's just hard for backs to get out into the pass concepts because they're constantly responsible for picking up blitzers, which means that if I had to choose one side of that board bet, with Mom and Dop in the house, I'm picking the Daniels.
Thank you very much, Field.
I would never defy her. Are you kidding me?
So despite everything you just said, you're still going the other way?
I love Josh, but I love Mom and Dop, and she's right here.
Yeah, if you had to choose, go ahead and make the decision.
I was going to say, you want to make your declaration?
I'm on the other side, right?
I forget what the number was,
but I'm on the lower end.
Isn't it like a 21? I think it's 15, 16, 17.
Yeah, that's what it is.
I actually am involved. I love Josh and I love Mama Dob. I know Mama Dob would approve of my message.
You want him to be good, but not great.
Yeah, I want to be RB 17.
As long as he doesn't get in the end zone. If he gets in the end zone, I think we're looking at a good game there. So, all right, let's check in on a couple of the running backs here while we're talking about it. Jonathan Taylor, we talked about this earlier with Stefania Field-Yates, assuming that Jonathan Taylor is the only running back in this backfield. Yep. How is it that you would rank him for these Colts?
I've got him as RB13 right now, and I imagine that both of you guys will be closer to that once Zach Moss is removed from the projections, if he is removed. I mean, he's at RB18, even if Zach Moss is, you got to move up a little bit, right?
Maybe a few, but I think Moss was already looking at 8 to 10 touches, and they seem to like Tyler Goodson and Trey Sermon. They can handle a couple touches. And
if
I don't know if
13
Taylor,
and you're at 18, move them a few. Doesn't that get you pretty close 16? To 13?
Yeah, okay. Well, I did. I said a little bit. I don't know if I'll go that high, which I'll get to why in a moment. Sure. Also, I think he might be a little bit limited in his first game back.
Yeah,
just because Sermon's coming off a nice game.
And, totally. You know. Yeah, I don't know what to make of Trey Sermon because he could be like totally out of the game plan on Sunday and it wouldn't surprise me. Yeah. Or he could have 6 carries and that also wouldn't surprise me as well.
Yep.
But the reason why I have Jonathan Taylor is RB13 as opposed to like RB6 is because I do expect a bit of a discount on the workload in his first game back, as was the case when he came back earlier in the year. Remember, it was him and Zach Moss battling it out for touches for like a month straight before JT really took over that backfield prior to the subsequent injury.
Here's my question. How many rushing touchdowns have the Falcons allowed to running backs this season?
I'm going to go with 2.
I know the answer. So I'm going to recuse. No, I'm going to recuse myself. Because
Zero.
Wow.
0 touchdowns. Only one running back has even reached 18 fantasy points against him. So I'm a little worried about ceiling against this.
If you think about it, though, they haven't faced, like the Falcons have not faced Cordarrelle Patterson or Tyler Allgeier, two dominant running backs in their own right. So maybe that's the reason
they have faced my best friend, Rashad White, though.
Maybe he didn't find the end zone. He didn't find the end zone?
Through the air.
They have given up a handful of receiving touchdowns to running backs.
There you have it. Jonathan Taylor, screen game touchdown on Sunday.
There you go.
Maybe that's why Bijan Robinson isn't very good, because he's going up against his Falcons defense.
He loses confidence during the week of practice. He's like, these guys are too good. I'm not made for the NFL. I'm born to be a college running back, and that's it. Kidding, of course.
Very much kidding. Hey, I want to check in on Austin Eckler. Figure out your confidence check on these guys. Mike, I'm going to start with you. 5 games with 20 or more fantasy points, 6 games with 4 to 10 fantasy points, nothing in the middle, nothing in the 10 to 20 range. It feels very boom bust for Austin Eckler this year. Now, I'm going to say this real fast, as fast as I can. They have a backup quarterback.
Yeah.
They're without their top 2 wide receivers.
Yeah.
They just fired their head coach. Mm. If I was a team playing defense, I would make Easton Stick have to beat me. Mm. Do you feel like teams are going to load the box against Austin Eckler and say, go ahead, Josh Palmer and Quentin Johnston with a backup quarterback, try and take us down?
I think they're going to try to do that, but Eckler might get 8 targets too, which is why we're still ranking him where we are. He's still a guy you could put in your lineup. You know, his line for carries is 9.5. That's probably his range. You're probably looking at 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 carries on top of, again, maybe 5 to 7 targets. And by the way, that aligns with this defense they're facing. The Bills have allowed the 5th most catches to running backs and allowed the 4th most receiving yards to the position. Also, the 6th highest yards per carry to running backs. So the matchups kind of aligns well for Eckler. You guys are quite a bit lower.
I was going to say, I am lower than you, and I'm right this time.
Wait, I was going to say, wasn't this opposite like 2 weeks ago? Did we just change the confidence that we have in Austin Ekeler?
No, I was not confident in Austin.
Okay, so and you're still not confident.
That was, the matchup against the Broncos.
Yeah, he had a good game, and I think this kind of lines up well. I mean, I'm just chasing the 15 to 17 touches. I know he hasn't looked as good, but he's still
Austin Ekeler is capable in the passing game. He has one receiving touchdown this season.
Yeah.
One receiving touchdown all year. He has three games this year in which he's averaged over 3.5 yards per carry. He has four games this year in which his yards per carry average was under two. He's just not an efficient runner anymore. He's going to need those 8 targets. And I'm worried that this game might be a bloodbath by halftime, and they might just say, Isaiah Spiller, come on down.
Ugh. Yeah,
Josh Kelly, come on down. You guys might be right. 15 snaps apiece. Yeah.
I'm still investing. I'm still thinking the targets will be there as they have been recently, and the carries will be down, which is why he's not ranked fifth. But I'm, you know, I think there's enough there for it. If you think it's going to be like that, a blowout, then you should not be starting.
Because I could really, like, I could truly see like 5 catches for like 35 yards, which would get you to 8.5 fantasy points, along with 8 carries for 14 yards.
I mean, I'm never going to project 8 carries for 14 yards.
I might. I mean, that might be generous to this running game right now.
Yikes.
I'm going to be right on this.
I'll tell you what. I'm just not going to project.
Fields, you've got him at 20. Mike, you've got him at 12. Yeah. I think maybe you guys want to do a board bet where I win if he's at 16 and you guys get the other sides.
Yes. I mean, Mike might not want to. Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
Why not?
I say Austin Ekeler will not be a top 16 running back in week 16.
I say he will be a top 16 running back in week 16.
I say he is exactly running back 16 in week 16.
Put it on the board.
A lot of 16s in there.
I know. Yeah, that was a lot. We really
watch some scores.
All right, Austin, get it done. He's already talking about like his plans for next year, like where he's going to be playing, and if other GMs are going to think he's washed, or if they're going to give him a real opportunity to be the starter, the lead back.
Could this team be 1-2-3 Cabo? Could this be a 1-2-3 Cabo situation? They're on to the offseason. Like, you know, let's make our Cabo plans now. That was a famous Phoenix Suns thing back in the day.
That's a fair point. I can, you know, I am a little nervous that they're just going to take a long look at Spiller here. I could be wrong, but
look at this.
Well, I'm projecting him to get another, have another big game here.
It's okay, like, Mike. You can't win them all. It's okay. Don't worry.
I've been taking a long look at Devin Singletary, guys.
Yeah, there we go.
No longer feels like he is in a committee. He has looked fantastic recently, Fields Yates, this week, taking on the Chargers. How high are you putting Devin Singletary in your rankings?
I have him as RB23, and that might be too low because I feel more confident in him than I do Austin Ekeler, and I have those two flipped in my rankings. I might have to adjust that accordingly, but he played 75% of the snaps, as you mentioned last week. He had 26 carries, but he also had 4 catches last week. Now, those were 4 of his 23 for the full season. He has not been heavily involved often in the passing game, but Damian Pierce, no longer a factor in this offense. Wouldn't surprise me if Singletary pushes for 25 total opportunities.
I said that he played the Chargers, by the way. He does not play the Chargers. He plays the Cleveland Browns. Yep. Just want to make sure that's clean.
They've only allowed 4 running backs to get to 15 points this year, but again, if Singletary pushes past 20 touches, he can get there. He's playing really well. 7th in fantasy points of running back since week 10.
Wow.
And now he's getting the volume with Damian Pierce here, who played 4 snaps last week.
Yeah.
Four snaps. He's really the 3 now. Ogunbowale is the 2. He's been full on benched. Yep.
Wow. Gosh, that's crazy. I can't believe that has happened here.
Mm. No, it's wild.
He really looked so good last year.
He really did.
For like a month, it looked like he was.
Yeah. He was a very exciting rookie. Everyone was really pumped about him. Yeah. For a good reason.
Yeah.
All right, guys, let's talk about a couple more running backs here. I want to check in on Javonte Williams coming out of that game against the Detroit Lions last week.
You don't play against the Lions, though. You don't mess around with your running backs against the Lions. Unless you're Ty Chandler.
Taking on the New England Patriots, who are also a pretty good defense field when you look at this Broncos offense and how you're approaching Javonte Williams. Do you have him as a top 25 guy?
I have Javonte Williams at RB31.
Okay, so outside your top.
And I have done a little bit of an about face on Javonte Williams because while the volume has largely remained steady, the efficiency has been
terrible.
Poor. As a matter of fact, he has under 4 yards per carry in 7 straight games.
And you said his volume has remained steady? Top 10 in touches over the last month at the running back position.
What would you guess is his most receiving yards in a game this season?
His most receiving yards in a game, 17.
I was going to say 76 because I watched Gus Edwards have 80 once.
31.
31.
So Mike closer to the pin on that one. So he has not, while he has seen some work in the passing game, it has not resulted in a bunch of big plays. So you are sort of counting on a touchdown if you are playing Javonte Williams, which I know is, it's possible, right? I mean, this is going to be a low scoring game, but yes, that's exactly your point. So three touchdowns this entire season, probably need one on Sunday night to pay off. It sounds like it might snow during this game, which has nothing to do with fantasy football. It's just cool that we have a game on Christmas Eve being played in the snow.
Agreed. Yeah,
absolutely. By the way, he does have 18 plus fantasy points in three of his last seven games. So we have seen the occasional big game, but I'm nervous about him. He's still really young, which is nice. And this was his first year off the ACL. So maybe next year
will be the bounce
his year where he makes a big leap. But again, still young, super talented. And that's why they keep committing to him. And it's not the Samaje Perine show or Jaleel McLaughlin show. They keep going back to the well here with Williams. So hopefully he's just getting his feet under him and we'll have a bounce back next year. Just nervous, a little nervous about him from a dynasty standpoint. But I'm with you this week. New England, second lowest yards per carry to running backs. They've been really good in that department as usual. So Javonte, underwhelming flex.
Ravens running back room, unfortunately, is without Keaton Mitchell on IR. Although for fantasy managers, while we hate that, it does mean more touches should be available for both Gus Edwards and Justice Hill. Taking on the 49ers this week, Mike Clay, we've been saying all year long, it's basically been Gus Edwards as the one and then Justice Hill as the two. Mm-hmm. Any reason without Keaton Mitchell that that would have changed, or are we still going forward like that?
Yeah, well, with the five full games with these two guys together, it was 52% of the snaps for Gus Edwards, 48% for Justice Hill.
Of course.
Lean toward Hill in the passing game, although they don't throw to the running backs much. It's always been a Lamar Jackson thing. And then the goal line work and most of the carries have gone to Gus Edwards. So Edwards would be my preferred start. But again, I have him ranked 30th.
Yep.
So it's very much in the range of who we just talked about. So it's Javonte Williams, of course. So he's a 12-team leagues, a flex. You have a little more value in non-PPR, but none of these guys are lineup locks.
So we talked yesterday on the show about how somebody was going to score a touchdown last night. And it was going to be weird, like a weird A.T. Perry touchdown or a weird DeMarcus Robinson touchdown or a weird there was one. Oh, Juwan Johnson. That's not that weird for the Saints. But still, the point was that like someone is going to score a touchdown that you're like, yeah, that helps like four of us. Right. Mm-hmm. I feel like Justice Hill could end up being that guy this weekend.
Two touchdowns. Like,
or he'll have three rushes and four catches, but one of those four goes for 68 yards. And you're like, oh, my God, how did Justice Hill have 82 receiving yards on Sunday?
But now that you said that, you put it out there into the world, Melvin Gordon's going to score a touchdown.
I'm okay with that. I'm a big Melvin Gordon fan.
That's right.
Back on the 53-man roster, sure is, by the way.
I'm a big fan of any time a running back can have like four carries for negative 3 yards and two touchdowns. Those are the kind of games that I'm in for.
Well, it was the infamous Jerome Bettis
game. It was like five carries, for minus three or something.
Yeah, five
like that.
Carries for 3 yards and three touchdowns.
Yes.
That might be the greatest stat line of all time.
Yeah, that's great. Or so the opposite of Derrick Henry / last week.
Yeah,
which was incredible. What do you have, 10 yards and 20 touches?
It was unreal.
How about Houston? Yeah. Houston's run defense, it was a joke for years, and now they're the best in the NFL, and it's not close.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're dominating
D'Amico
running backs.
Ryans, baby.
Crushing it.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of dominating, Isaiah Likely, without Mark Andrews, has been fantastic for your tight end position. The last 2 weeks, 19.3 and 18 fantasy points. Mike Clay, any reason why this is going to slow down against the San Francisco 49ers this week?
I don't think so, because you look at his snap share.
You had a chance.
What?
It's not likely
it's going to slow down.
I'm not as sharp today.
You want to ask at the end, Daniel? This isn't live.
Not as sharp today. I had a
problem. All right, here we go. Dave, just, I'm sorry, Tyler.
Just redo this.
We'll restart. In 3, 2, 1, down barrel again. Here we go. All right.
Mike Clay.
Yes.
I can't. Just answer the question. I was going to do it. I was ready for a full reset.
Is Isaiah Likely's hot streak likely to continue?
I think it is very, there's a good chance of that happening.
See, I hate you. You're the worst. I think you should leave.
Yeah. I'm a poet and I didn't even realize I was making
rhymes.
Stop
it. Just talk about Isaiah Likely.
Isaiah Likely, yes. He'll keep it going. Snap share. This is like after the dad joke. And
that is. Yeah,
like,
that's right.
Can't talk right. Playing 3/4 of the snaps, exactly like Mark Andrews. His targets per game, the exact same number as Mark Andrews earlier this season. Fantasy points per game, actually up from what Mark Andrews was at. God. So you got Likely, we have him as a fringe tight end. One, we'd have him a little higher if the matchup was easier against the 49ers, but I think you're comfortable starting him. By the way, last week, Trey McBride had a big game against this team, and so did Elijah Higgins, scored a touchdown as well, and had like 4 or 5 targets. So that's interesting as well.
Do we think Higgins is a tight end or a wide receiver?
I think he's
listed in our game as a tight end.
Yeah, I mean he was at the combine with the receivers. Then he got converted to tight end, but then he was waived by Miami. or
by Miami, Miami went to Arizona. 6th round pick. Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. What do you think? I don't know where you lined
up. I think he's a game column. I think he's a tight receiver. Is what
tight receiver.
Call
yeah. Tight I believe tight we're receiver. Calling him a tight end in our game. Yeah, sure I believe is, yeah. Arizona is calling him a wide receiver on their roster.
All right. Well, I always go player by player in the offseason, fix all that stuff. So we'll see.
You're responsible for it, huh?
Sure am.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I do all the things.
You do all everything at this company. Yes.
All the things.
So who are we trading Mark Andrews to this offseason? Because you said that Isaiah Likely is better, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's true. I think you're the one you just said that.
Yeah. Hey, Chiefs?
Stop it.
Oh, Kelsey and Andrews together? Yeah. That'd be awesome.
I thought T. Higgins was going to go to the Chiefs this offseason.
He's going to the Jets, according to the polls.
Jets. Yeah. All right. Okay.
Mark Andrews is actually going to the Dodgers, let's be honest. With yeah,
he's going
right
to the
right
Dodgers
now.
Right now.
That's unreal. Yeah. All right. Hey, speaking of tight ends, let's talk about Darren Waller. Came back last week. Gets the Eagles defense. Mike's Eagles defense. Mike, really quickly, how are your Eagles against tight ends this year?
Mid. That's a word.
It is
now.
A word.
Yeah, it is.
But
mid.
It's funny. I thought you were going to like mid. Middle of the pack. No, mid means no, bad in
mid.
This case.
Yeah, mid means bad, right? So I use it wrong. But in this case, they are middle of the pack.
Okay.
Yes. Middle.
Neutral matchup.
Yeah. Do you like him this week? If you had Darren Waller, you were waiting for him to come back, ideally. Yeah. Like, how far down that tight end list do you have to get to feel confident with Darren Waller?
I've got him as tight end 12. I'm a couple spots behind the two of you guys. He had 6 targets last week, second most on the Giants, behind only Darius Slayton. 4 catches for 40 yards. He's now a full participant in practice. He came out of the game healthy. He is seemingly healthier this week than he was last week. So, you know, I think that as I reminded when Darren Waller returned from IR, relative to where you drafted him, he is a disappointment. Relative to, is he a startable tight end? He's like serviceable, right? Sure. Like, he's not a top 5 option, but he's also not a top. He's not like at the 20th tight end on our board or something. Like that.
You mentioned 6 targets last week. He only played 43% of the snaps in his first game back. Before the injury, was 84%. I expect him to be closer to that number this week and in that 7 to 8 target range. So no doubt, he's a tight end 1 option.
Heck yeah. All right, guys, back here on Fantasy Focus, closing things out. We are talking about our Fantasy Focus parlay.
Let's
Mike
go. We're
Clay.
Back. We're off last week.
We were off last week.
We got 2 in
off
a row right, week. And they were like, you can't do it this week.
So are
we
you serving it up or is Daniel serving it up?
Well, we
it
did
up?
It together this time.
It's a joint collab. Two, I'm trying to think two. Of like, you know, the great collaborations over time. Yeah.
So Daniel pitched one, and then he reviewed my picks for the betting playbook, which will be on ESPN Plus today.
Okay.
And picked 2 that he agreed with.
Felt comfortable with.
That's the parlay.
Okay. That's where we're at.
There you have it.
Do you want to take yours first?
I want to tee you up first. I want to start with Bryce Young because I thought this was a really good one. Bryce Young, over 27.5 pass attempts, Mike. We like that one.
Yeah, we do. 28 plus in 12 of 13 games. There was one exception. Guess which one it was?
It was the weather game.
It was last week. That's weather, right? His line was really low. That's the only time he hasn't hit this. So I expect that against the Packers, who have faced the 6th fewest pass attempts this season. Mm. And yet opponents are still averaging 31.6 per game. So think about that. They don't give up many, and it's still way above this line. Even with Carolina running the ball a lot more, they have been clearing this line pretty easily. Your quarterback's against them, so love this one.
Love that as well.
All
yes.
Right, what do you got?
Jakobi Meyers, over 37.5 receiving yards. First, a shout out to you, Mike Clay, because the Shadow Report is one of the best things that I read every single
Thanks,
week.
Friend.
Yeah. One of the things that
I have it on audio file. Okay. Not much of a reader, but I love listening to it.
I narrate it and read it in this.
That's your voice?
Yeah.
Well, I did not know you had that kind of range.
Oh, yeah. I do it all.
You
voices.
Really do everything. Yeah. Kind of sounds robotic a little bit to me, but it's no big deal.
My voice is a little off today, so I can do all kinds of extra voices today.
You and
it's
Herbie.
From that party a couple nights
Poor
ago.
Poor Herbie last
That's right.
night. Herbie was powering tough. Through. He just kept going. Herbie's been... not like that guy's been working hard over the past 5 months. We love Herbie. Obviously, he has been literally everywhere. The man is the face of college football and one of the faces of the NFL. So Mike and Herbie, kindred spirits with their current voice issues.
Yeah, Christmas parties and football stats. That's what we do.
That's right, yeah.
Football analysis.
Hey, real quick, just to close this out. Jakobi Meyers. I think the idea of the non-number one pass catcher, because people being shadowed by L'Jarius Sneed, a lot of times that opens up the number two pass catcher. When you look at this, there have been a handful. Week 15, Hunter Henry went 7 for 66 as the guy that was not shadowed. Dalton Kincaid, unfortunately, only 5 for 21 behind Stephon Diggs, but he had 9 targets in that game. Mm-hmm. You look at a bunch of these number two pass catchers, all the way back to when Jakobi Meyers did it again in week 12, by the way, 6 catches for 79 yards and a touchdown against this Chiefs team. I like him at 37 and over 37.5, Mike.
Yep. No doubt about it. I'm with you on that one. And the last one here, Tyler Allgeier, over 8.5 carries in this game. This one's close to even money. 9 plus carries in 10 of 14 games, including 5 of his last 6. How about that 14 we got out of him last week? So Look, he has at least 7 in every game going back to week 2 of last season. So he's going to be in this range. I think there's a good chance he gets to this number. The Colts have faced the 3rd most running back carries this season.
What's
so
the payout here?
I don't know.
I'm not sure what it is.
I don't have it, but it should be in there, or if it's not in the app right at the second, close. It will be shortly. So
I've gotten several tweets saying like, hey, you know, Christmas shopping was on the house this year because of Mike. Daniel's wonderful thoughts here. During
there it is.
Parlay Plus. Yeah.
One of my favorite things is when I was looking at those, I was like, you know what I want to do? I want to put my faith in Arthur Smith. Let's do that. Yeah.
And so this is putting the faith in the fact opposite. That he won't use one
exactly.
of the. It wasn't like an over on Bijan, right? It was an over on.
That's so good.
Tyler Allgeier.
I did want to pat myself on the back for finding those people that tweeted us saying like, thank you for the ESPN bet parlays, because normally when you go on Twitter and you look at the replies, it is the spammiest, bodiest thing of all time. I mean, every day it's like you'll tweet like whatever, like Fantasy Focus is coming up in 5 minutes and link to it. And they'll be like hey. 9 plus. Hey, thank you. Awesome. Cool. Wow. Daniel Dopp's the man. But Mama Dopp's even cooler. And you're like, okay, those last two were accurate. Yeah. Everything else was just AI random bot fun. Stuff. Yes.
All AI stuff. That's like, one was like,
that's
good.
So good.
I agree with Clay on Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Like, we didn't even talk about him in that show at all.
Oh, really?
Like, it's just like AI nonsense. Like,
it's actually not AI. It's AU, artificial unintelligence. A bunch of morons out there, mouth breathing, probably not literally. They don't even breathe because they're robots, but AU. If you call it AI in my presence, I will ignore you for the rest of the conversation. Hey,
don't be a mouth breathing moron. Go check out ESPN Bet and our Fantasy Focus. Well, parlay right there, guys. Download the app today, the ESPN Bet app. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, starts of the week, friends. Let's dive in. Field Jace, your start of the week for week 16 is...
I really wanted to be Zeke Elliott again, but after last week, I think I'll dismiss myself. But assuming no Ramondre Stevenson, I do love Zeke. Justin Fields this week playing against the Arizona Cardinals. As we know, Fields, a dual threat quarterback, and the matchup is terrific. This Bears team could have been playing for the playoffs if they had won last week and holding that 10-point lead. But I think they are one of the few teams who, despite the fact that they probably are not going to make the playoffs, feels like the vibes are extremely high right now. Give me Justin Fields for 20 plus fantasy points.
All right. I like it. Mine is Jacoby Myers going up against the Kansas City Chiefs. I know Daniel likes this one. I know he's been up and down, but I had a pass and a rushing touchdown. It was a pass or receiving.
Pass and receiving.
Pass and receiving touchdown in his most recent game and his last 20 plus fantasy point game against the Chiefs. There's going to be a Legarius Sneed shadowing Devontae Adams. Myers gets the upgrade and matchup. Like him.
Love it.
Daniel?
And I love Trey McBride in this one. Did you know that since Kyler Murray returned in week 10, Trey McBride is tight end 1 in receptions, tight end 1 in receiving yards, tight end 1 in... there's something else that he's tight end 1. He's fantasy also seen points? A 27.9 target share
vibes.
Over ESPN.
Yeah, tight end 1 in vibes, too.
Like, he is absolutely crushing it. When I look at the Bears, they have allowed the 10th most receptions to the position over the last 6 weeks. They don't give up a lot of yardage, but they do give up catches, and the idea that they are giving up an average of 5.6 yards per catch, and I'm looking at 5.5. I love the idea that Trey McBride, I think, is going to continue to smash in this
one. Lock him in there.
That's it.
Fantasy football now, Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern time. Good calls all the way around.
We love you guys. We'll see you then.
We're back on Wednesday, by the way, for Fantasy Focus. Wednesday, we have a reduced week next week. Wednesday through Friday, of course, we will get you caught up on what happened this weekend and then also get you ready for Championship Sunday. Cannot wait already. Let's find a way to get into Championship Sunday.
That's all right. Let's do it. I'm ready.
Okay. First way to do
that. Bring it up.
10-1 ESPN 2 Fantasy Football Now.
Let's go.
We'll see you guys there.
Thumbs up for Fantasy Football Now.
No secret, not a mystery. The one that we depend on for all our podcast needs. Graduate, Full Sail, you, a Lions fan through and through. With the hippest beard, I'm telling you, he's